The cost of discipleship for God. You can be seated. Peter had just made that important confession about Jesus in Matthew 16. Verse 16 says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus had affirmed to Peter and the disciples was what Peter told the Lord. He said, "You're right, Peter." And he said, "The Father had to give you this revelation." And it is right after that, shortly after that, that Jesus shocked the disciples. In Matthew 16, verse 21, he said, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." You see, the cross was a necessity. Jesus knew this. Jesus himself said that he must go to the cross. It was the Father's purpose for him because it was there he would lay down his life on behalf of the sinners. He would die for their sins. See, the disciples struggled to understand and to accept this. Peter even found the idea so repulsive that he pulled Jesus aside and rebuked him for these words. But see, Jesus made it clear to him. He said he would not turn away from what the Father's purpose was. He would obey the will of the Father and not the things of men. Okay? Immediately after Jesus had explained that it was the Father's purpose for him to go to the cross, it was the Father's purpose for him to lay down his life for the lost, that he himself was determined to go forward and fulfill the Father's purpose for him. He then calls his disciples to do as he was now going to do for them. If they wanted to follow Jesus, they would also need to go the way of the cross. In Matthew 16, verse 24 to 27, "Then said Jesus unto the disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." Listen to this, folks. "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." That word disciple, it means a student, a learner, or a pupil. In the Bible, the word is used most often to refer to the followers of Jesus. Discipleship, folks, hear me. Discipleship is a mindset. Discipleship is a commitment for us. Come on. You have to have this mindset that says, "I'm going to live for Jesus Christ." You have to make a commitment that says, "I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what comes my way." 35 plus years ago, I asked my wife to marry me, and we were married, and I was committed to her. I made a vow before God. And it doesn't matter all the ups and downs that we've had over the years, we're still committed. Amen. And when it comes to living for Jesus Christ, amen, we're still committed. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what God asks me to do. I may not like something that God might ask me to do, but I'm still committed. Amen. I have a mindset that says, "God, whatever. Me and you go way back, God. I'm going to serve you no matter where." The disciples who had given up everything to follow Jesus have just been told that he was going to die. See, He spoke of his resurrection, but they did not hear that. Okay? They heard, I'm going to die. He mentions the resurrection, but see, they're so focused on he's going to die, they didn't hear it. All right? They were wondering, what does this mean for me? What will I do? Where will I go? And am I going to survive? You see, in this day of much turmoil that we live, that may be how you are feeling today. You might be wondering or worried about how you will live and survive if you take up your cross and follow Jesus just like the disciples. Now, these things can be a real shock sometimes. Just like the disciples were shocked, only they had given up much more than you and I have given up. But then Jesus told them, folks, that earthly riches would not profit them like heavenly riches will. You see, there's something as far greater value than worldly riches. Jesus said the cost would go on even after he died. He told the disciples, I'm going to go die, but the cost of serving me is going to go on. There would be the cost of discipleship. This is the expense incurred by following Jesus. Things must be given up, and things must be done in order to follow Jesus Christ. See, there is a cost of a soul. We all have a soul. Nothing is more important than a man's soul, right? The cost determines one's eternal destiny. Now, with such great cost, there is also great benefit for those that live for the Lord. Amen? They will find themselves the recipients of the greatest rewards given to mankind. You see, folks, there is a cost of denying oneself. We don't like it. We deny ourselves sometimes. All right? Sometimes we should deny ourselves more, but we don't like it. So we don't deny ourselves. Self is made up of personal desires and ambition. Right? Most of us have some kind, I hope anyway, something, personal desires or some kind of ambition in life. You see, in the Old Testament, self was frequently equated to being stiff-necked. Right? It was characterized by a refusal to obey the Lord. So if you refuse to obey the Lord, the Bible in the Old Testament, they called you stiff-necked. Okay? It wasn't meant to be good. The denial of self comes when we give up all of our earthly and fleshly ambitions. David was a man who loved God with a lot of passion. He desired to build a temple that the people might worship the God that he loved so much. But listen, folks, he wanted to desire. He thought he was going to be doing a good thing, but God wouldn't let him build the temple. God denied him that right to build the temple. That could have been a very crushing blow to David. But instead, David decided to deny himself. He did what God wanted him to do. So to practice denying self, we must remember that God wants out of our lives. And we must do what God asks us to do. Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. You see, when self is in conflict with God's desires, we must yield to his ways. God, I don't want to do this, but God, is there any other way? Okay, God, I'll do it. You see, there is the cost of taking up one's cross. There's a cost to it, folks. God told the disciples they got to take up their cross and follow him. There's a cost that goes with it. See, the cross is an emblem of crucifixion. The cost of being Christ's disciple is being willing to crucify ourselves to the claims of Christ. What claims does Christ make? Humble yourselves and be saved. Submit to the gospel to be a part of his church. Study and grow and in being a disciple. That's why you're here tonight. You're receiving the word so that it helps you to grow, to be a disciple. See, teach others to be his disciple. That's why I encourage you, to other people that aren't here tonight, encourage them to be here. Encourage them to come and grow in their walk with God. You see, essentially, folks, Christ requires four things out of your life. Have you crucified self and submitted to these claims? See, if you are not obedient in these areas, you are saying to God, essentially, my way is better than your way. Okay? And it's not. If man's ways never profit man, they are like the stock market. They're down and down and down. Okay? There is the cost of following Christ. There's a cost that comes with it. And since we cannot literally follow the footsteps of Christ, this must have a spiritual application to us. To follow Christ, we live and we act like he lived. Right? Simply, holy, and reverently. That's how he lived. Simply, holy, and reverently. Always seeking God's will for our lives. He sought the Father's will. He did what the Father asked him. We have to seek his will. Seek what he wants us to do, and then follow that in our lives. We have to be honest before all men. Pastor, don't you know that will cost me if I truly did what God asked me to do? That's really going to cost me. I'd have to be honest in business. I'd have to be honest with my spouse. I'd have to be honest with my family. I'd have to be honest with my pastor, and it would just cost me, Pastor. Folks, why is it whenever we study God's claims upon our lives that we look at it that will cost us from a worldly standpoint? Whenever we feel we have to do what God wants us to do, why do we look at it as a worldly, what I'm going to lose in the world? We do that, don't we? If I do this, then it's going to cost me this. And we look at it that way often. So instead, why don't we look at it, what it's going to cost us spiritually if I don't do it? Come on. You know, it's so easy for us to look at things in the physical realm. Right? You know, when you talk about fasting, I'm going to be hungry all day long, and da da da. You know, if I got to pay tithes, that's going to be less money I'm going to be able to spend. I got to give in offerings. I got to talk to somebody about God and maybe teach them a Bible study. That's going to take my time. See, we look at it in the worldly view. We need to look at it in the spiritual realm. God will bless you for doing this. God will help you if you give. He will bless your finances if you give. God will bless you richly with more friends and on and on and on. You could look at it in the spiritual realm, how God can bless you. You see, if it's costing you your fellowship with the Lord, if you don't do what God wants you to do. See, it is costing you the ability to be an influence in others' lives for the gospel if you don't do what God wants you to do. For some, it's racking your souls with sin because you're not doing what God's wanting you to do. The real cost of discipleship is failing to live as God desires, not how God wants us to live. So the cost of discipleship is failing to live as God chooses. There's a cost to your soul. See, riches have been a snare to many in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Many people do not realize that its greatest cost a person can pay is the loss of their soul. We have to make sure, no matter what it takes, that we're going to make heaven our home. Amen? So if you have to give up certain things just to stay saved, we got to do that. To keep your way is to lose your life. To keep doing what you want to do, you're going to lose your spiritual life. You see, if the cost of discipleship is too much, you will continue to keep your ways. And that's why so many people fall away, because they don't want to pay that price of being a disciple. So you lose your way. Amen? Most of these ways are sinful. Most of them are in rebellion to God. The greatest thing about being your own man or woman is that you will gain your life your way, not God's way. All right? You can do things the way you like. You can live life with all the fun this world has to offer. You will trivialize sin to the point it no longer brings conviction in your life. Will you be busy living it up? While you're living it up, you're losing your life. How can that be? How can one live and lose life? It has to do with the life that we lead. It has to do with the life that we lead. See, if you live life only for this world and its ways, you will easily find them and have them. The cost is eternal life. You see, one cannot ignore God and his promptings without great cost. You can gain the life of this world, folks, but lose real life, which is eternal. That's the trade-off. The world will blind you to the real issues, your soul and its eternity. See, give up worldly life is to gain eternal life, right? If we give up worldly life, we gain eternal life. You see, the person willing to give up the ways of the world for the ways of Christ will find blessings in Christ. God wants you to give up the ways of the world. Why? Because he has something much better for you. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief come not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." See, the thief is Satan, who gives you the world and he gives you the pleasures of the world. Jesus wants to have, he wants you to have life. He wants you to have a life that has more abundance than the world could ever give. When you give up the world and you live for God, you will gain life. God's life is life that is eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep your way. Amen. Keep your doing your way. Will God give you the whole world? No, it's going to cost you your soul. You are made up of three parts, folks. You're made up of the body that is your flesh. Your soul is the part which makes you alive, the part of you that will live forever. Amen. And the spirit is the part of you which feels and thinks and makes decisions. And Jesus states that if you lose your soul, there is no profit. There must be a great loss. In Matthew 25, verse 46, he said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So who are these that are banished into eternal punishment? Those who have given their souls to the world and saved their life for their own selfish pleasure. Those folks go into everlasting punishment. You see, there's nothing to have that you have, folks, or this world has that is precious enough to pay for your soul. Nothing. Each man, woman, will at some point in this life or after it, when it's too late, they will realize that their soul was the most precious thing they had. The most precious thing they had. See, when a person comes to the place where they realize that the world has deceived them, that what they will give to have salvation of their soul. But they got to come to that place where they realize the world has deceived me. I thought I could do things on my own, but I've made nothing but a mess of it. Amen. So they will, when they come to that place, they'll give over to salvation. They want salvation, but hopefully, they learn that before things are too late. Nothing because of soul is so precious that nothing can be given for its worth. Nothing. There is not enough gold or good works on this earth to pay the value of your soul. But there is a payment that will free the soul from eternal punishment. In 1 John 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, the payment that is given for man's soul is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. When he went to the cross, he paid for your soul. He paid for it. Praise the Lord. He paid for your worldly ways. He paid for your worldly desires. He has ransomed your life. And if you will give your soul to Jesus Christ, he will save it and keep it and give you eternal life. Now, God's reward is the kingdom, God's kingdom. Matthew 16, 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. God is going to return to this earth with rewards for each one of us. Praise the Lord. And we will be rewarded according to our salvation, according and our relationship with God. To those who have given up the world and have the promise of God's kingdom. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 says, for he that overcometh. See, we have to overcome. We're not just guaranteed things. We have to overcome things. Praise the Lord. To he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is the promise, folks, to those that are willing to forsake the false riches of the world for the love of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Never, folks, never does Christ dismiss our basic needs as real. We need money to live on. We know that. So we are of great value to the one that saved us. Praise the Lord. His promise includes to meet our basic needs of life. The question is, what are we willing to forsake now to receive eternal life? You see, anyone who wants to be a disciple must give up their eternal reward. Their personal desires. I'm sorry, I jumped the line down. Anyone who wants to be a disciple must give up their personal desires. So is knowing Christ enough? Not if you continue to live life without the influence of discipleship. You must live your life with the influence of discipleship. Self will not allow you to be Christ's disciple. Okay? You have to overcome this flesh. Self will not allow you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, that which self is using to keep you from truly living for Christ, that is what you must give up. Right? Your cross is the crucified life. You cannot be partially crucified. Amen? You must give in to God's complete way for you. And then you will be able to follow Christ. You'll follow his directions for your life and find there is blessing in doing so. See, one who is living life their way and for their benefit must give it up to save their life. You may not say it, but if you live your own life and only live for the things of this world, you are telling Jesus Christ you do not need him. Amen? If you are keeping your life, if you're keeping your way, but you are in all actuality losing eternal life by denying Jesus Christ. Jesus asked you to forsake the short term for the long term. Seek eternal life by living a life of a disciple. Now, so folks, do not think I can give up all I have to live for Christ. Okay, instead, think of this way. I can give up the false short-term ways of the world and gain eternal life and riches if I just give up on self. Okay? People who paid the cost of discipleship in the Word of God, Abraham left all when he left his homeland. Noah left all when he built the ark. Joseph lost everything when his brother sold him. Matthew gave up tax collecting job. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and Philip left all to follow God. Daniel risked his life by not eating the king's meat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gave all not to worship the idol. John the Baptist preached with fire. Mary, the mother of Jesus, suffered much ridicule. Paul gave all to spread the gospel, and Jesus gave his life at Calvary. All disciples. There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers on earth. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. You see, when you go to buy a car, you go to buy a house, or you go to buy clothes, whatever it is, the price always dictates your decision. Right? I don't know. I'd really like to have this car, but that's too much, so I better settle for this. The price always dictates your decision. Listen, folks, there is no cost too high to pay for your eternal life with God. No cost too high. Amen. Let's stand here tonight. Folks, we need to become disciples. Amen. We need to give up our self-desires and be what God wants us to be. And if I ask you, if I went around here and ask you, do you have people around you that need Jesus Christ? What are you giving up? See, a lot of times we just hope they don't ask me about this. I don't have time to teach a Bible study, or I don't have this or don't have that. We need to say, God, whatever it takes. And on our knees, pray for that person. Seek God, for God to get a hold of their hearts and speak to them, that I can be a blessing and a help to them. And let God use us. And it, folks, I'm telling you, God needs disciples today. He needs us to follow his will, to do his work. Praise the Lord. I believe God has a great harvest, but it's going to take disciples, amen, to bring it in. Amen. You don't bring in the sheaves without workers in the field. Praise the Lord. Are we willing to be that for Jesus Christ? Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Greet one another in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here.